One of the sponsors is famed t-shirt artist and environmentalist Guy Harvey. He runs a foundation that focuses on improving the overall health of oceans. One of the group's concerns, he said, is the dwindling worldwide shark population.
To feed the Asian demand for shark fin soup, many species of sharks have been severely overfished, with some shark populations reduced to less than 10%.
But a fisherman at the event said he's seen an influx in sharks over the past several years. Bob Huter is associate vice president at Moat Marine Laboratory in Sarasota. He said there are some species whose populations are on the rise, but that doesn't mean sharks are in the clear.
The black-tip shark is a relatively fast-growing shark. Instead of taking 15 or 20 years to mature, they only mature in about 6 or 7 years. And we did a stock assessment, a CDAR assessment of the black-tip a few months ago, and the stock is in good shape. It's not overfished, and it doesn't look like overfishing is occurring.
But that's something Huter said could be used to help other species of sharks.
So I've actually been a proponent of trying to redirect our shark fisheries to a species like the black tip and away from some of the species that are in trouble, like the sandbar, and try to get the market to adjust to that as well.
When people talk about restoring fisheries, they tend to assume it's all about saving endangered populations. That's true, but it's not the whole story. According to Chuck Wilson, chief scientific officer for the Gulf of Mexico Research Institute, some species like redfish are actually in abundance. There's a catch. Most of the species are in their teens, even though they can live to be 50 or 60 years old. Wilson compared the problem to what would happen in the human population.
You can see the imbalance you'd have, both in the workforce, kind of a good example, imbalance in the workforce, imbalance in experience. Well, in the fish population, that's reproductive capacity. Because the bigger you are and the older you are, the more eggs you tend to put out over your lifetime.
That means even though there's an abundance of redfish now, it might not stay that way.
So we're missing that money in the bank, so to speak, that insurance policy that assures that population will continue when you have highly questionable, highly variable recruitment of their young. And so the ones that are of concern to me are the ones that are long-lived and that longevity is gone in the population.
Part of the goal of researchers at symposiums like this one is to find ways to collaborate different management strategies. Wilson said because there's an abundance of young redfish but a shortage of mature ones, regulations get a little tricky. Most size regulations say a fish must be a certain size to keep. But in this case, the management strategy would be the other way around.
If a fish makes it to this size, you let it live on. If you catch it, you got to let it go, or you don't fish areas where they're caught. Kind of goes against the bounty idea of the biggest fish wins in a tournament, and you can have allowances for that. But that's one of the strategies. And the other one is you just manage bag limits and seasons, so you know that some of those fish are going to get into that old age distribution.
In broader terms, the entire Gulf of Mexico could be in trouble.
Well, we're facing many challenges coming up. In the Gulf of Mexico, we have more people wanting to use resources. There's been oil spills. There's lots of fishing issues. More and more people using habitat. And so the concern is we have to manage this to ensure the well-being of our future generations.
That was Jim Bonesack. He's a research fishery scientist with the National Marine Fisheries Service in Miami.
As scientists, we want to make sure the best data get used in the management process. Our role is to develop the understanding, the science that allows us to have the resource restored and be healthy. And management takes that information to make those decisions to allow the restoration and the well-being of the resource so we can have jobs and employment and recreation for present and future generations.
Bonesack said part of that protection includes more than just studying sea life. As he put it, you can take the fish out of its habitat, but you can't take the habitat out of its fish.
So if all the seagrass died, just replanting it's not going to solve the problem. Why did it die? In some cases, we have to do a better job with our water quality, our runoff, our sewage treatment. These things are activities that are going on. Some of them are expensive, but again, the cost is there won't be any resource in the future, and so it better pay a little bit now and make sure it's restored and healthy than not.
Seagrass functions as a nursery for many of the species living in the Gulf. Run a net through it and you're likely to find any number of egg sacs and infant sea life. And Bonesack said people don't have to be scientists to help keep habitats healthy.
Not throwing their trash overboard and cleaning up. I mean, simple things. They should decide, you know, their resources, you know, invest in organizations that help protect, even if they can't personally do it, you know, political organizations or environmental organizations, and also be aware when they vote, people that are going to take care of the resource.
Steve Morosky, a professor at USF's College of Marine Science, said combining management strategies, enforcement of regulations, and public knowledge are all integral parts of protecting the Gulf, and that's important.
This is the epicenter of recreational fishing in the country, right? So there's a huge economic dependence on fisheries.
The symposium will continue tomorrow. It'll wind up with a Guy Harvey Film Festival featuring two of his documentaries and trailers for upcoming films starting at 7 in the evening. For WMNF News, I'm Janelle Irwin in St. Pete Beach.